You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole. Available on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you just get your podcasts from, pretty much. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Thursday, where we are officially T-minus 1 week away from the NBA's trade deadline, the deadline that you know the Pelicans will certainly be active at. So we've got a lot to cover in today's edition of the podcast. First, though, we're going to talk about DeMarcus Cousins and why the Pelicans are going to re-sign him to a large deal. I've been asked about this a lot recently, particularly on the radio here in New Orleans. You could hear me the other day on ESPN radio with Gus Kattengill, the Sports Hangover. It was on the NBC affiliate, I think, Sports 1280, on their afternoon show with Chris Gordy, and also over on ESPN radio again with Matt Moscona after further review. So we need to talk about why, even though everyone wants this team to sign him to a below-market deal, a shorter contract, that's not going to happen. So we'll cover that in the first segment. Then we do need to look around the NBA standings, which might be a bit depressing if you're a Pelicans fan, given their recent two-game losing streak, and then the upcoming back-to-back playing OKC and Minnesota. We got to talk about the standings, where the Pelicans are, what they can kind of afford to do, what they can't afford to do, which games now become must wins, because certainly after a two-game losing streak, those are on the horizon. And then finally, like I said, trade deadline is a week away. We'll cover that. We'll talk about some other additional targets for the Pelicans in addition to Nikola Mirotic, who there's some update maybe on that. So we'll talk about all that, and we'll do a primer here for the trade deadline and maybe focus on one or two things every day as we get up to that about just a week away. So a lot to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by mybookie.ag. So actually, before we get into everything, I'm going to talk about a bit of a giveaway I'm doing and kind of running here through Locked On Pelicans to help someone in need. And I tweeted about this the other night during the Sacramento game. I'm going to keep retweeting it and tweeting about it, so you may as well hear it here as well. Look, we all know the in-arena experience in the Smoothie King Center is very generic, very stale. But one of the reasons why I enjoy going to games there, and a lot of people enjoy going to games there, is the uniqueness and the friendliness and the personality of all the staff. Remember the usher that used to dance every game and almost win the dance cam every game? Those guys are important to your experience. And there's one guy there that I talk to of all the ushers every single game, and his name's Leonce Bailey. And he recently suffered a personal tragedy where his apartment complex caught fire due to something that had no fault of his own, and he pretty much lost everything. I've seen the pictures. It's awful. Imagine if you lost everything you had in your home, in your apartment, what you would do, how do you pick up the pieces and go forward? It's not easy to do. So there is a GoFundMe out there for Leonce Bailey, raising money just to help him replace his lost stuff. We're not trying to buy the guy a car, buy him a house, anything like that. Just to help him get back on his feet and replace some of the possessions and to pick up those pieces a little bit easier. And if you make a donation to the GoFundMe for $10 or more, I'm putting you in a raffle for 4 tickets to a future Pelicans game. And depending on the schedule and what we do, what I will do with you guys, if you want, you can take all 4 tickets and go to the game with your friends, your family, you know, whoever you want. If you want, though, I will sit with you guys during the whole game. We will talk hoops, talk basketball. I'll give you maybe a little bit of inside information that I don't normally put out there. So all you have to do is donate $10 or more. Email me a picture of the receipt. It's lockedonpels@gmail.com or tweet it at me, whichever one you prefer. We're going to do this GoFundMe. And then if you donate $10 on top of that or any single denomination of $10 on top of that, you get an extra entry into the drawings. So if you donate 10 bucks, you get one entry in there. You donate 20, you've got 2, 30, 3, 40, 4, so on. One guy donated 100 bucks, he's got 10 entries in there, and that's awesome and the type of generosity I love to see. Additionally, I had an anonymous person donate another 4 tickets to a future Pelicans game that will be in the lower bowl, and we will work with you and your schedule to make sure that you can attend a game that you kind of want to. We're being flexible on this to encourage people to donate. So check it out on my Twitter. It's at NolaJake. I'm going to be retweeting it a couple times a day over the next handful of days, maybe up until the trade deadline, and then we'll do the drawing. But I'd like to get some people to donate more than we already have. We're doing really well. I'm pretty proud of this. And it's just a good thing for a good dude that makes Pelicans games more enjoyable. So go donate to a good cause and try and win some tickets where you can hang out with me if you want. Or if you find me annoying, which hopefully you don't, you can just kind of take the tickets and go your own way. Okay, so now let's go to on-court things and talk about why Boogie is going to get a big deal for the Pelicans. So we all know that going into free agency, had he stayed healthy, the Pelicans were going to offer DeMarcus Cousins a 5-year 176, I think is his max contract, on basically the opening night of free agency. They weren't going to waste any time whatsoever with this. And more or less, that's kind of still the same plan. And I know a lot of people think this is crazy because when you look at players with these type of injuries, the most recent one being Wes Matthews, though it's a guard and a little bit different than a big here, they don't come back the same. And it takes 2 years. Wes Matthews is finally kind of a lesser athletic version of the player he was in Portland 2 or 3 years later. Not ideal to give a $35 million a year contract basically to that guy, especially in a big who take longer to recover from these injuries and also tend to have a lot of reoccurring injuries, particularly anything in the feet. Again, broken feet ended Yao Ming's career. We saw Kevin Durant suffer for about 2 years with that Lisfranc injury in his foot. Different, those are breaks, but still, feet on bigs is a bad thing. Unless you're just kind of having them because you need to jump and stuff like that. Feet injuries, I guess I should say. But the Pelicans are still going to offer DeMarcus Cousins a big deal. And yeah, it sounds crazy because you think the market for him wouldn't really be there. And maybe they should offer him a 1+1 or something like that. It's not going to happen, and here's why. First, if you're DeMarcus Cousins, and this is my assumption, I haven't spoken to him since the injury, so I don't exactly know what he's thinking. He might not have an idea necessarily either. But if you know you're not going to come back at full strength and you can get a 5-year deal, you're going to try and get that 5-year deal because you want the job security. If he goes the route of Elton Brand, which is maybe the best analogy for what happened, another big with an injury similar to this, then you've got to get a long-term money because you might be out of the league in 3 years. This is potentially career ending. Rather than a 1+1 deal or a prove it deal, you can get 5 years, even if it's for less than the max. You do that because that money is guaranteed. You never need to worry. If all of a sudden this flares up or reoccurs, or you don't come back near even remotely the same, you're half the player you were. You're not going to make that money back up later on in future contracts. So you do this right now, get a big 5-year deal and lock in that money and that security. But then the question becomes, why would the Pelicans do this? Well, there's a couple of reasons. And the one other part is he's going to have suitors out there. Hate to tell you, teams will take a chance on this. They won't be won't be the first choice for these teams. But look at both teams in LA. The Clippers are clearing money. They're likely to trade Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan or just let those guys expire and have a ton of cap space because of that. You still have the Lakers who are going to clear cap space, hoping to sign both LeBron James and Paul George. And then you're going to have a team like the Mavericks that kind of want to make a splash and spend some of the money that they've been hoarding. You know, Mark Cuban doesn't like this losing thing. You know, maybe we'll stop being patient in the long run. Who's a smart dude? He's going to be patient. But you get what I'm saying. There's offers out there. If you try and hardball DeMarcus Cousins and offer him a 1+1, a 2+1, what have you, he might bolt and go somewhere else, particularly after those teams have struck out in free agency. If the Lakers miss on LeBron and Paul George and have all this cap money and no one to spend it on, they very well might take a chance on maybe DeMarcus Cousins at 4 years and $115 million. Whereas if the Pelicans are offering him a 1+1, which comes to $70 million total, he might not want to take that deal, and those extra years and that extra money, again, for a player in his situation, is definitely the smart thing to go after. This is similar to what happened the year, 2009, 2010, was it, when LeBron went to Miami. All of these teams were clearing cap space and were trying to chase LeBron and Wade and Bosch, those three, and they all struck out other than the Miami Heat. So what are some of the contracts that were given out? You had Amari Stoudemire get a max deal to go to the Knicks, We saw how that worked out. You had Staten Mello for a little bit for one good year, and then it basically fell apart, and he became kind of near untradeable until somewhat towards the end of his career. It was killer on their salary cap. Carlos Boozer signed in Chicago for an absolute ton of money at that point, and that wasn't much better. And so these type of deals will get thrown out there when people miss, and DeMarcus Cousins will have suitors, and the Pelicans know this. And, as I keep saying and here, they have a very good history of negotiating against themselves. We've seen this. Omer Asik deal was the opening night of free agency. Ajinsa, I think, was the second night. Both of those, no one was targeting those guys. No one. Drew Holiday, not a max deal, but a very big deal the opening night of free agency. Not willing to test the market or let bad things happen and lose the players. And in those cases, you maybe make an argument it was a bad move. But here, I'm going to say it's the right move. Even if it just buys you another year or two of Anthony Davis and you've got to figure it out on the fly, you've got to take that chance, because the second Anthony Davis leaves this team, it's going to be bad for a while. When you have bloated salary with Drew Holiday or DeMarcus Cousins, or both, you're not going to be able to tank and try and build into a championship contender for many years to come till basically those guys come off the books. So you can let him walk, and then you lose Davis in a year and blow the whole thing up, or do you buy yourself two more years of Davis and try and figure it out in the meantime? Well, if you were this front office and you still had your job come this offseason, what do you think they're going to do? They're not blowing it up. They're not going to accept being fired like that. That's what that would be and what that would mean. It's not going to happen. So you know they're going to offer him a big money deal. We've seen it with this Nikola Mirotic deal, where they kind of are worried about his team option and the luxury tax implications of everything next year. They're going to give him a big money deal, not a 1+1, not a 2+1. You're looking at a 5-year minimum $135 million contract. So before we get to the Western Conference standings and where the Pelicans sit in the playoff race, look, you guys, the big game is here. It's almost the Super Bowl this coming Sunday, and it's time to cash in big and bet the game at mybookie.ag. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect weekend to get in on the action. You have a hunch on who's going to win the coin toss or what color Gatorade the winning coach is going to have on him after? Log on now, check out the prop bets, and get in on the action. Don't just watch the game, lay down some money, be part of it, make it more interesting. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. MyBookie is the industry-leading online sportsbook, and its players enjoy the fastest payouts in the business when they win. Where you bet is just as important as what you bet. If you can't get your money out of there, does you no good. This is the only service that I'd recommend that's been good to me and our listeners. That's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting so you can place a bet after kickoff. Join now and score free cash to place your Super Bowl wager on the house. Right now, MyBookie is giving away up to $1,000 to every new player. Sign up today and score an instant 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's right, if you join with $100, you'll get $150 bankroll to play with. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Again, that's LOCKEDONNBA. You play, you win, you get paid. So let's look around the NBA. We're going to do this quickly since we've gone a little long on the podcast so far today, and look at the standings and talk about where the Pelicans are and some of the teams they're grouped up with. And I like to do this once a week. So after the most recent loss, the Pelicans sit at 7th in the Western Conference, down from the 6th spot at 27-23. Portland is a game above them at 28-22. Above that, OKC sits at 30-21. We're not really going to focus on the 4 and 5 seeds at 32-22 for Minnesota, and then OKC again at 5th. We're going to look at the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 9th seed now, and maybe talk about the 10th, because things got a little bit interesting after a game against between Utah and the Golden State Warriors last night. So the team immediately above the Pelicans, Portland, sitting there at 28-22, a game up. Their schedule upcoming is okay. You've got Chicago, Toronto, and we're going to go look at them through the All-Star break. Then Boston, Detroit, Charlotte, Sacramento, Utah, which will be a big one, and Golden State. So their schedule is about 50-50 there. There's some winnable games in there against Chicago and Charlotte, obviously. Detroit's now not the same easy out kind of that you would have expected them to be before. That certainly has changed things. Got a difficult game against the Jazz coming up, but then they've also got the Kings. The Kings maybe aren't the biggest pushover, or maybe that's just the Pelicans that struggle with them. Basically, you're looking at Portland to stay where they are through the All-Star break. So New Orleans doesn't really have a chance of getting to six. So, okay, let's rule that one out. Now we can take a look at Denver and see where they're standing. That's the team directly below New Orleans in the standings in the eighth spot. They're 26 and 25, so a game above 500. And this Denver team has not looked good recently. They're also on two straight losses currently. And they have a pretty brutal schedule coming up. They got OKC on the first, then Golden State. They get a winnable game against Charlotte after that, but then they go to Houston. So you're looking at three losses out of their next four games, potentially. They might get a win against Phoenix. You have to figure that one's going to be pretty easy, even if it's on the road. But then they've got San Antonio at home and Milwaukee on the road right before the All-Star break. So out of their next seven games, you're looking at maybe two wins, maybe three. So if they go 3-4, they're going to be right at 500 or so, maybe a game below that. That's good for the Pelicans potentially because it's not a team that's necessarily going to surge past them and create a little bit of wiggle room and some breathing room. So Pelicans kind of need, you know, we're rooting against Denver here is, I guess, the best way to put it. So sitting at ninth in the Western Conference is the Los Angeles Clippers at 25 and 25. So they're a half game out of the playoffs. And they did just trade Blake Griffin, the team's best player. We still don't know, though, what's going on with this franchise. Again, you have to figure that they're going to trade DeAndre Jordan or Lou Williams. But if they don't, they still might stay in playoff contention. They got more depth back in that Blake Griffin trade, and they've been banged up and playing a bunch of G League players, so getting some depth makes them a little bit more scary. They have six games coming up before the All-Star break, and you're looking at them going 3-3. They've got Chicago at home. Every team apparently is playing Chicago. Then Dallas. Those are two wins right there. At Detroit's going to be pretty difficult. You have a feeling Blake Griffin might go for, I don't know, 72 points in that game. Followed by Philadelphia, that's tricky on the road still. Then you go to Brooklyn, a game they should win, and then finish up with Boston. So you're looking at probably a 3-3 record, them staying 500. So before we look at the Pelicans' schedule, keep that in mind that the Pels need to basically not get to 500 or worse to remain in playoff contention, at least through this All-Star break. So let's look at the Pelicans' schedule because that's rather important here before I talk about maybe a surprise and kind of outsider team that could potentially sneak in and pipe a playoff spot from someone else. The Pelicans sit four games above 500. They're 27 and 23, and they have a mixed bag of a schedule coming up. This was a stretch that looked fairly good and fairly easy for the team, particularly with the way they were playing. But now that they've kind of been on the downswing here and looked pretty bad in these past two losses, at least in the second half, that's a cause for concern. You have a back-to-back coming up against OKC and Minnesota on Friday or on Saturday. Was it Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday? Friday and Saturday. There we go. Friday and Saturday, you're at OKC before them playing again the next night at Minnesota. Minnesota's had the Pelicans' number all year. Those are going to probably be two losses. So now they're two games above 500, and you're looking at six games left to go. The Pelicans cannot afford to get below 500 right now. That's almost certainly going to be a death sentence. You got Utah at home. That's going to be tricky. We're going to talk about them. Before Indiana at home, going on the road to Philadelphia, going to play on the second night of a back-to-back at Brooklyn, team that's giving them trouble, at Detroit, which is no longer kind of the gimme game it already might have been, before you finish up at home on the 14th against the Lakers. By the way, that's like the day after Mardi Gras Day, so that's, of course, going to be horribly attended. You know, looking at 2-4 right there and being 500 after at the All-Star break is a very realistic situation for the Pelicans. Doing so is going to put them in maybe the 7th, 8th, or 9th seed, potentially the 10th if things break right for this other team that I'm going to talk about here. And that team is the Utah Jazz, and we need to pay a bit more attention here. Initially left for dead, they're 22 and 28, so six games under 500. They're basically three games back of just the 9th seed, so four games back of the 8th spot. But they scored a big victory over the Golden State Warriors. on Tuesday night. They beat them 129-99, a 30-point victory. Doesn't happen very often against the Warriors. With Rudy Gobert back and uninjured and in their starting lineup, they are a force again to be reckoned with defensively. Things break right, they might be able to go on a run. We don't really need to look at their schedule right now, though the Pelicans do play them this upcoming Monday, which is going to be a tough game. They have an easy-ish schedule going forward. It's a team just to keep an eye on because, again, defense can get you very far in the NBA. It remains consistent against shooting that is sometimes inconsistent. Gets you wins. It can make you scary in the playoffs. I like Gobert a lot. This Jazz team is on a three-game winning streak, so just keep an eye out for them. And Monday's game against the Pelicans is almost a must-win for New Orleans. Don't forget to check out LockedOnPelicans.com daily for all your Pelicans needs, insight, info, whatever you need. We've got it covered over there right now. So make sure you check out LockedOnPelicans.com today. So let's talk NBA trade deadline because trade rumors and all of those things are always fun. So we talked about the Nikola Mirotic deal yesterday on the podcast, why there's an issue with the team option, the luxury tax, and all of that for the Pelicans. Not an ideal situation to be in, but so while the deal appears dead, the Bulls certainly are still trying to trade him, and there's a number of reasons why you might expect this to come back and maybe kind of be reanimated and we'll get a zombie trade going on here. That's because, look, the Bulls want to deal him. Mirotic doesn't want to be there either after the incident with Bobby Portis over the summer in training camp. He wants to go to a different location. The Bulls have no reason to keep him being as bad as they are and not a team trying to make the playoffs. And word came out today that they're actually going to be resting him and shelving him indefinitely until at least after the trade deadline, signaling for all intents and purposes that they're willing to part with him and will be parting with him. So I would assume the Pelicans are still the front runners for him. They need to find a way to attach another contract with it, ideally Alexi Ajinsa, maybe someone like Jameer Nelson or potentially Tony Allen as well. Could be included in that trade to get the Pelicans under that hard cap number of 1.2, whereas this trade is 1.9 increase. So they really need to still shed about $750,000 worth of salary in this trade to make it work under the NBA's salary cap rules. But other teams will be chasing after Mirotic, as are a number of teams trying to chase, including the Pelicans, Tyreke Evans. Former Pelicans player of even last season was shipped to Sacramento in the trade for DeMarcus Cousins. This is a guy who could score and be off the bench for the Pels and is having a freaking phenomenal season for the Memphis Grizzlies. When guys get healthy and they leave New Orleans, they do quite well, apparently if they are two guards. Now, the thing with Tyreke Evans is you're not going to be able to attach that first round pick alongside Omer Asik for him because the Grizzlies want to retool. They're keeping Mike Conley and Pau Gasol and plan to contend next year and are just trying to retool their team a little bit on the fly. Attaching a bloated long-term contract, even with that $3.5 million only partial guarantee in the final year, isn't going to work for them. So the Pelicans would need to get creative for a trade to figure out and how to bring him here, as my dog makes noise in the background. Another team that's really interested in him is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. The problem is right now, and this is what I think is stalling a lot of trades and big moves from happening, is for mid-level players like this, like a Tyreke Evans, like a Nikola Mirotic, no team wants to give up a first-round pick, and that's what teams are seeking in these trades as of today. As we inch closer to the trade deadline over the next couple of days, I think these demands either get met or the asking price drops. Something's going to break because there's no reason to keep Tyreke Evans on the Grizzlies next year, just like there's no reason for Nikola Mirotic to stay a Chicago Bull. So as you get closer and closer and the time to negotiate becomes less and less, that's when you'll start to see things happening. Right now, the Pelicans are the only team that we've known has thrown out a first-round pick in one of these kind of, not middling trades, but mid-level trades is maybe the way to look at it. Meaning they're going to have other people calling them being like, hey, we're interested in your first-round pick. The problem is finding a home for Omer Asik because it's very clear right now that this Pelicans team needs to shed some salary. That's why I thought the main deal they would have made was a cost-cutting move that gets rid of someone like Jameer Nelson, Tony Allen, buys them some breathing room under the hard cap, and then you hit that veteran buyout market. Maybe Greg Monroe gets bought out. Maybe you sign Andrew Bogut and bring in a player or two that way to kind of shore up this team and help them maybe limp into the playoffs. But this salary and the future salary of players is going to be a big factor at the trade deadline for the Pelicans. This is a concern because, as we talked about in the opening segment, they're going to offer DeMarcus Cousins a big contract. You have to anticipate max on that right now. So the Pelicans are one of the few teams offering up a first round pick. That's great. That can definitely get you someone in this trade market, because right now the Utah Jazz don't seem to be offering a first for Mirotić with the Chicago Bulls. That's the other team that was rumored for them. The Sixers and Celtics don't seem to be offering up a first round pick for Tyreke Evans. Makes you have maybe the most valuable asset on the market as of now. Again, I think that's going to change, and that's why you'd like to see the Pelicans get a deal done sooner rather than later. But hopefully this opens more doors for the Pelicans as we get closer to next week's trade deadline. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Tomorrow we will preview the game for you, take a look at a couple other things with the team, more fallout from the DeMarcus Cousins injury. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about that. Good news is, as I just see as I'm recording this, he did have successful surgery in Los Angeles. Worth noting, just for whatever reason, that it wasn't performed by a Pelicans doctor, not necessarily that it should have. As we wrap up here, don't forget the GoFundMe for Pelicans usher Leonce Bailey. Good dude. I talk with him every game. He's super nice, super friendly. Let's do a good thing, and maybe you guys can come win some tickets, and I will watch the game with you, give you some inside info on the Pelicans. We'll just have a good time in general. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's going to a good cause. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, as always, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.